Hello, everybody. It's Connor. Thank you for joining us for another brand new episode of your favorite podcast, Drama with Connor and Dylan McDowell. We are so thankful that you're here. While you're here, before the show starts, I want to tell you about Drama Plus. That is our bonus content platform where for $5 a month, you get access to a couple bonus episodes of said podcast. And you get added to our Instagram close friends where it goes down. It really goes down on the IG close friends. So for $5 a month, extra episodes, juicy content, and you go to patreon.com/thedramapodcast to support. We've got an amazing episode for you today with Elise Allen Lewis, the star of Teeth. You're going to absolutely love her. If you haven't seen the show yet, you got to go see it. And thank you so much again for listening to our podcast. Tell all your friends about us. Give us 5-star ratings on Apple, Spotify, iHeart. And yeah, join Drama Plus. Thank you again. We love you. Time for the show.
Press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to taste in
the shade and tea
to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama.
Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell. And you know, Connor, we are in queer media.
We need to hold space for that, Dylan. And I know what the audience is thinking. It's been weeks since this viral video has been out with
I know.
Cynthia and Ariana on the Wicked press tour being interviewed. Was it by Out?
I think something like that. Yeah, Tracy Gilchrist or Gilchrist or something like that. Listen,
We Live.
the press tour of Wicked was full of so many beautiful moments, hilarious, heartbreaking,
Insane.
insane. But this one stuck. I don't know what it
Oh,
is.
I said this to you, but of all the things for people to be talking about on the official release day of the Wicked film, I did not expect it to be that meme where Ariana's like clutching Cynthia's finger and they have the long nails and they're both crying and Cynthia's sort of reacting as if she wrote the lyrics to Defying Gravity. It's
Oh, it's
incredible.
amazing. It's
It's
amazing.
incredible. Oh my God, I cannot get enough. I stop and watch every single meme that people are like creating from it. And I watch the video. I mean, that's rare. That's a lightning in a bottle
I
moment.
know, with sound, because I usually scroll with everything without sound, but
Well, I need to hear that fabulous journalist say, I've seen it. Yeah. So
so good.
good.
The
Ah!
journalist who does resemble Kelly O'Hara at a biker bar, perhaps.
She does. No, she 100% does. She has a Harley.
Yeah.
It's everything. Oh my God. And we've both seen the Wicked movie now.
Yes, not once but twice.
And we did our yearly crossover episode with Oscar Wilde, the podcast with our friends Nick and Sophia. And I have to plug it really quick here off the top. It's called, I think, Wicked, the episode that they did. But if you search Oscar Wilde, we're on there. We also did an episode with them about all the A Star Is Born movies last year. We did a Chicago episode to celebrate the anniversary. And then when the Spielberg West Side Story came out, we did a Spielberg and then original West Side Story. So love those episodes, love them so much. And I think people will really enjoy our Wicked episode. So if you want our full thoughts and review
Yeah.
on Wicked the film, go for it there. But
But spoiler
yeah.
alert, we loved it. I mean, that's the bottom line. So, yeah, we're raving about it there. But, you know, we're also holding space for iconic off-Broadway theater. I mean, there's been so many incredible off-Broadway pieces that have been starting to run this fall. Obviously, Big Gay Jamboree, Drag the Musical, one of our personal favorites, and also Teeth, which I missed it the first time around, but I know that you got to see it. Was it last spring at this point?
You know, time is so funny. I really couldn't tell. It's here nor there. Was it summer? Was it spring? Was it last winter? No, I'm pretty sure it was last like March or April that I saw it, but obsessed. One of my favorite things that I saw last year, and I can't wait to see it in New World Stages, and I'm stoked because we have the star.
No,
The
which is
star.
such a gag, and she's so lovely, and we've already gotten to chatting, but why don't you bring her in and let's let this convo unfold.
All right, y'all. Our guest today is the Grammy-nominated star of the off-Broadway coming-of-age musical comedy Teeth for her smash performance as Dawn O'Keefe. a role she's been workshopping since 2011, this queen received Lucia Lortel and Outer Critics Circle nominations. You've seen our guest Slay on Broadway in Mamma Mia as Sophie, opposite friend of the pod, Beth Level, as well as in Disaster and Amelie. She's a Drama Desk Award nominee for Soft Power at the Public Theater and has also lent her talents to White Girl in Danger, A New Brain at Encores Off Center, and The Civilians, Pretty Filthy. Regionally, she starred in Rattlesnake Kate, Soft Power, Amelie, Fall Springs, The Rocky Horror Show, and more. She is truly Mother God, and we're so grateful to have her on the podcast today. Please welcome to Drama,
Elise Allen Lewis.
That was such a beautiful introduction. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. I'm so excited.
Thank you. You're Mother God.
Oh my gosh. I'm really honored. Thank you.
I have no idea what that means, but I'm holding space for it, I guess, for lack of a better phrase.
I am too. It feels like even more than I could have ever imagined being described as. I'm very, very honored.
Wait, when was Teeth at Playwrights? I can't remember.
We were at Playwrights last year, started in, I believe, end of February, went through end of April.
Okay. So I think I saw it in March, April vibes for sure then.
Yes. Yeah, that would have been right.
Oh my God. And we're going to get fully into it, but it gagged me. I really knew nothing about it going in. And then I walked in the theater and all the art that was everywhere. I turned to my friend. I said, now, what is this show about exactly? And he was like, just sit down.
Love that. You got to go in blind, I think. It's better.
Oh, 100%. I even was like listening to the recording and I was like contemplating telling Dylan to listen to it. And I was like, no, I feel like this is something you need to just let wrap you up and you need to immerse yourself in the world when you go see it.
Absolutely. I think that's right.
Yeah.
So y'all recorded a cast album. Was that after the run at Playwrights?
Yes, actually, it was the day after we closed. So Yellow Sound Label released Teeth as a cast album. And we all recorded that right after our Sunday matinee closing performance. And I was so thankful to our music supervisor, Julie McBride, our whole music team, Chris Kukul did orchestrations, Anna K. Jacobs, who wrote our score, and Michael Kreuter, who was the engineer for the session at Yellow Sound Label, because I asked if I could come in at 5 and warm up at around the same time that I would for a show, if we say had a show on that Monday, to be able to sing the cast recording, because it is a lovingly on this show. It's a lovingly heavy lift, vocally, physically, emotionally for Dawn, for this character. And so doing the shows that were required for the weekend also meant that, you know, the day after we close, I don't know how much is in there. And I was really thankful that my whole music team heard me and we started recording all of my material at 5. And they actually gave me open time from 8 to 10 to record anything that I thought I sort of had in the tank, which was a really beautifully sacred time on that cast recording, because it was just me for a couple hours with our music team recording most of the songs. And then I was able to come in and do Precious Gift and Shame in My Body, my favorite song in the show, 2 days later at Michael Kreuter's other studio. So I really appreciated them for giving me that time and space.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's so much respect there. That's great.
That really is great. Was there a closing night party that you guys had that you were all like, oh, we're partying, but not too hard tonight?
Sort of. Yeah. Yeah. Our producers gave us a really beautiful party at the West Bank. And I love the West Bank so much. Please, everyone, keep going to the West Bank. Keep going to the Beachman. That is a standard in our business. Mm-hmm. That is a place where new work happens, but it is also a place where connection happens for artists and otherwise coming to see theater here in the city. And so we did have a little party there after we ended that matinee. But yeah, most of us kind of like called it an early night and got ready to do the cast recording that next day.
And at that point, when you were recording the cast album, the future was uncertain of Teeth. It was sort of just, we finished this run and this is just so it lives on.
Yes, like there had been some sort of whispers. I work on a lot of new work. I feel like it's the thing that I champion in my career. It's the thing I feel like I fly toward. Like it is my insect light. Like something new that's behind a stand, even for an hour, if it's never fully realized into a production, to me, that was my production with it. Like I am always wanting to jump into something new. If it means that I did a character for 1 hour that was new, that was never heard before. If it means that I can meet a new writer and creator and have that sacred time to connect and get something off the page, I will do it. And that's all to say that in this respect, anytime I'm a part of something new, I really only take it day by day and like week by week with that show because you never know if it'll move on. I've gone out of town with a lot of things that you hope for it a lot. And it really had its place just in that production. It did not come back. And then I've done other things where we've had the production, say like Amelie. You know, I was a part of it for both productions out of town and came back with it here in New York. And it just so happened that it had a very short run once we got back to Broadway. So I am the kind of person where I give my 1000% and I'm always ready to hear that it won't be there.
That's realistic. In this business, I mean, you've had Broadway, off-Broadway, like you said, regional experiences too. I
Yes.
imagine it's also like a, I don't want to say defense mechanism, but it sort of just prepares you to expect whatever the result might be.
Yes, because I think that any of our work as artists requires full presence. It requires presence in that moment. And I think part of the magic of what I get to do every day and what the folks alongside me get to do every day is that if you weren't there for that one performance, if you weren't there for that hour in the rehearsal room where a conversation happened that didn't happen the next day, if you weren't there for that person coming into a show and then having to leave or having to go somewhere afterwards, like, then you missed it. Like, you won't see it happen exactly that way again. And so I think I am at this point in my life really holding on to presence where I can take it because that's the magic of it all. It's the hardest part about what we do and the most freeing, I think.
Yeah, and the beauty of it being theater, that it is
Yes.
fleeting and special, and I know it's what I love about it most is that it's only the people in that room are experiencing it.
Yeah, that live part of it that I feel like, you know, my husband, he's an actor too. His name's Eric Morris. And so is my sister, Jillian Lewis. And I feel like something we all talked about in the pandemic was that idea and that gut punch of maybe never doing live performing again. I mean, this was a great way to connect Zoom as well, and a great way to feel like, hey, we have something that will take the place, but there's nothing like that, you know? And when we were sort of, our theaters were shutting down and we, life looked a little different. I walk to Teeth now and there's a lot of nights where I can't believe it. Like, I can't believe that I'm going to be in front of a group of people. I can't believe that I am going to experience that magic again that's maybe only for that night or go or do a reading again. Like in the pandemic, I thought I would never kind of work on something in development again because I feel like the pandemic also affected how much many resources we have to be able to do that. And how many spaces we have to be able to do that. So, yeah, it's a very, got to keep that presence.
For sure. And gosh, even with teeth, you've got audiences sitting there in these ponchos if they're close enough in the splash zone. Like, remember during, obviously, we were social distancing for a time and wearing masks. And now audiences are close enough that they can get splashed with some of the substances on stage in your show, which is just amazing.
Yeah, that's new for us. The splash zone's new. And there are some diehards that come to Teeth. I'm definitely looking at you, Beth, Jonathan, and Emily, who at this point also come to our show and they do it sans poncho. So
Oh, wow.
they are sitting in front and they are wanting to get that spatter wherever it lands. And that's incredible too, because when I run into them for the how many times that they've seen the show, which it's in the double digits at this point. These are fans that like I look forward to seeing too, because at this point there's a connection there of me being like, hey, you got to see this in real time tonight, the way it happened, you know, just this evening. And it's pretty cool because that spatter is also not going to be the same from night to night.
Yeah. I feel like at Playwrights, people still knew that if you were sitting close, there was a warning up, right? Like you might get a little bloody, but
Yeah, and it makes it, I mean, it doesn't thrill some of our audience members.
sure.
It doesn't thrill them because they wonder how they're going to get it out of their clothes.
Yeah.
You know, because it does stain, it's blood. It's a fake like sort of blood that we use for the show. But yes, like it gets on the costumes, it gets on clothing if you're up front. I think for Playwrights opening, they did provide like little towels. If you
Oh.
were sort of in the first two rows to kind of like help with that, you know, but I love that. There's nothing more live than that.
Oh
Like,
yeah.
because there is room for it to go farther. There's room for like us to be more excited with the packs that we have on stage and the way that it's getting shot forward. So that's exciting, I think.
God, I need to know what this is all
I
surrounding because
knew.
obviously I'm truly in the dark, but.
I was just going to say, I mean, obviously, at least we do tons of research and we prepare for these episodes, but there are some things we like to keep sacred, such as I told Dylan to like stay spoiler free for teeth. So, I mean, we're talking about
Yes.
blood and stuff, and I'm sure Dylan is like, what the hell is this show about? Elise, do you have like a spoiler free-ish explanation of the show to share with our listeners to entice
Yes.
them to come to New World Stages to see it?
Absolutely. So, Teeth the Musical is an adaptation, score and co-book written by Anna Jacobs, lyrics and co-book written by Michael R. Jackson, an adaptation of Mitchell Lichtenstein's 2007 film called Teeth. And the show centers around an evangelical teen named Dawn who is reconciling her religious beliefs with her sexuality, and she has a secret. The secret has to do with her body because her relationship with her body is the most important that you will see in the show. Now, it is hard because I do want to say that this secret has to do with her vagina. I want to say that because I think sometimes we shy away from saying that word in general.
Yes, for
And I
sure.
want us to be able to say the word. She has a secret inside her vagina, and this secret comes out when she does not give consent. She's learning about it throughout the whole show. And so that's my description without spoiling too much.
Ooh. Well, I love that we're just going to openly use the word vagina today. I think that's amazing.
Yes. Every day we're using it. Yeah.
Yes.
And also the idea that this was a 2007 movie, understanding that consent is a conversation that maybe we weren't really even having, I think globally until maybe in the last, I don't know,
Tell me too, at
five
least.
plus years. I mean, yeah, maybe more than that. It, like you mentioned, Connor, time is, what is it even anymore?
Well,
It's like, we
yeah.
don't know, but that's really, I mean, it feels like timely though, that this
Yes.
show is an adaptation of something from 2007. That's incredible.
Absolutely.
Elise, we completely dove into this conversation. I didn't even get to ask you that one of our first questions that we like to kind of greet our guests with, but are you well?
I'm well. Yes, I feel excited that we're kind of into this wintry weather. We're getting into the holidays. We just put up our tree.
Ooh, yes.
I feel like when she's in here, I don't want to leave. You know what I mean? She, I made her female identifying, but yes, I love putting up a tree and I love getting ready for the holidays in the city.
Oh, it's just the
Oh.
most magical time. And of course, with your sweet husband, Eric William Morris, you're both three
Yes.
namers.
We are. We're both three namers.
There's something in the air when you have three names. You, Jason Robert Brown, Jennifer Ashley
Yes.
Tepper.
Wow,
Yes.
wow, wow.
Absolutely.
I need to know what color lights go on your tree.
We do white lights.
Yeah. Classy. Classy
Yes.
and elegant.
What are your opinions on white lights?
Oh, love, that's the color that's on our family tree.
Oh,
This
great.
most th I feel like most years, Dylan. I'm trying to
Yeah.
remember if there's been red and green and
Sometimes
stuff.
we've done the multicolor with the family tree. My fiance and I do multicolor
Oh,
here
love
at
it.
our place.
Yes.
We just decorated our family tree over the weekend while we were home for
Ah,
Thanksgiving. So it's so
so
cozy. It's just the
nice.
best.
It is. It's so great.
Elise, how long have you lived in New York City?
I've lived in New York since I went to college here. I started college in 2005, went to NYU. So it's been a long time. It's been like 20 years.
Oh my God, that's
Yeah.
crazy. Have you like bounced around different neighborhoods? Like how many different apartments would you say you've lived in?
Yeah, I've lived in Astoria for the most time in Queens, which is where I am now. But I did live in Chelsea for a little bit. I did live on like 55th Street right near City Center
Oh
for
yeah.
a few years after college as well. But yeah, Astoria has been kind of where I've made my home here.
Oh, that's
Aww.
amazing. Okay, wait. So that those post-college years, that was Mamma Mia, right?
Yeah, so I graduated in 2009 and I made my debut in Mamma Mia, and that's where I met Eric. We
Yes.
played Sophie and Skye. And yes, Beth Level was my Donna, who I couldn't love anymore. And actually, we came in with a turnover of 13 people. The movie had come
Wow.
out at that time, and so they were doing a big turnover as the movie was becoming more popular as well. So we had a full 4 weeks of rehearsal. And I'm really lucky at the time that I didn't know what Phyllida Lloyd looked like, our original director of musical and of the movie. She did cast me. She cast our 13 person turnover. I had gone in for the audition first with Eric Woodall, who was at Tara Rubin casting, big champion of mine. And I went to a pre-screen, then came back with Eric and some of the team. And then I can remember that last audition on the same day as my movement call, like later in the day, where it was, everybody. It was a resident director, Phyllida. And I really thought that I wasn't right for it at all. Like I went through the callbacks feeling like I don't think this is right. which again, I feel like many artists would say that's kind of what happens when you do get something, because you end up feeling so kind of uninhibited. You're sort of there and you're like, oh, I don't know if this would, if I'm a fit, right? But that also just made me feel even more present in the room because I was like, I have nothing to lose. And then I got a call in the driveway of my childhood home. I was coming home for my dad's birthday and I got a call from my agent, David Krasner, at the time. He was like, I'm on the train home back for a family party, but I just wanted to tell you that you got it. And I was like, great. I'm like going out on tour with Mamma Mia. And he goes, no, you're starting in New York as Sophie in 2 months. And I was shocked. I called my best friend, Sam Pinkleton, director of O Mary. And
Yeah.
I called him in the driveway and I was like, I'm only going to tell you this and I'm going to sit on this information for the next few days just so that I can like take this in. But yeah, I'm going to make my debut in a few months. Pretty cool. And I went back to the Winter Garden recently to see my friend Leanna Hunt in Back to the Future, because Leanna also played Sophie on Broadway and on tour. She was playing it on tour when I did it in New York, and then she came and replaced me as I was doing it here in New York and with Sophie for the next couple of years. So all in the family, you know.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I remember talking. We had Leanna on, I want to say maybe is it 2 years ago at
I
this
love
point, probably?
Leanna.
I think it was just last fall,
It
though,
was just
believe it
last.
or not.
Oh, time.
Yeah. This is the theme of today. We don't
I
know.
know.
But
Yes.
I remember talking to her about her Mamma Mia experience. And I believe
Yes.
she even mentioned you. Because was Eric also her Sky then as
No,
well?
we actually, we had different skies,
Okay.
but definitely a lot of overlap. Because I remember when Leanna got the show. I mean, we all like celebrated, our class all celebrated. And yeah, and I also know Larkin, her husband, Leanna Larkin, and I did a few shows at Cap 21 together. We had a pretty incredible class.
Yeah, sounds like
And
it.
they're all out here doing amazing things. There's a lot of overlap here in the city with projects and with running into each other, people that have kind of gone into all avenues of the arts, some that have also, arts is no longer what they pursue as a career, but have lived an artistic lifestyle. We all keep in touch. It's cool. It's special.
Aw,
Oh.
and who could have thought that, getting your dream of making it to Broadway would also mean you'd find the man of your dreams in the process.
It was pretty cool. Yeah. And it was very much like, I don't know how much we knew each other at that time. We did start to date in Mamma Mia, but there was an adjustment period when we got out.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, I look back at that person and I know her, but I don't know if I know her. You know what I mean? I was 22 at the time. I'm 38 now. And I kind of feel like I wish I knew what I knew, but I think we all wish that
Sure.
as time goes on. I think I wish I went through the process feeling like a lot more relaxed and chill about what I was doing. Eric reminded me that when we got married. He's like, you were including all these ABBA songs and like, I love how happy that you are about including all them in the memories, but do you remember how stressed you were doing the show? And I was like, yes. So it's stressful, I didn't know what to expect. I'd never been a replacement before. It is a very like specific thing. The show was running for a long time, and so I learned a lot. I learned a lot.
And like you said, the movie was out too, so it's
Yes.
bringing in all these audiences that, like, I'm sure the pressure was really high, really high.
And I think it's always high for that specific actor in that show, because you aren't one of the three dynamos, and you usually are someone that's coming in and playing this role that I feel like in the canon of musical theater is supposed to like sound young and be young. And I think sometimes like I'm interested what that all means. I think we're trying to figure that out. We're trying to, as a business, figure that out, and I yeah, it was just an interesting position in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Did you learn any lessons from Beth while you were there?
Oh my gosh, I feel like the best part about being with Beth is that I know for me, I'm somebody that is a I don't know if I would quantify myself with words that we use in the business, like ingenue or like character actor, but I know that always I've been somebody who I am a comedic ingenue. That's how I've been in sort of a strange category where I am really charactery, and at the same time, I think sometimes my look belies what I do or what we think that I do. And so my favorite thing about being with Beth is like how she fills moments with comedy. That in itself was like a huge lesson. And I feel like to be able to watch her do that every night, to watch her fill time and space and make bits with a show that had been around for so long, but something that she's truly making her own is amazing. I also felt like the self-care that she gives to herself and the way that she looks after herself during a run, like emotionally and physically, mentally, I clocked that. And I definitely have always thought back about it because she's a huge inspiration in that way.
Oh, that's invaluable. Did she? I know she spoke with us about eating potato chips as a way to conserve or like get the voice all lubricated some way. Was that something she was doing back then too?
Yes, she did. I do remember her eating chips at times. And, she was going through an injury during Mamma Mia. It was a muscle in her neck. And for a long time, she needed that muscle worked out while we were working on the show. But at the same time, she was still doing the show and moving through it. And it takes a lot to sing what you sing as Donna in that show every night. And I, watching her and watching the grace that she gave herself and others during that run, is something I won't forget. And I've really had a great, I mean, I've really been able to watch and learn because I was a kid working in this business. I think it's something that really defines who I am in this business, like how long I've been a part of it. And the connections that I've made with, say, even like casting offices, they've known me as a child. They've known me since I've been like 9 or 10. And so I feel like I've just gotten to watch some of the most amazing actors make their lives in this business from an early age, in all of its beauty and in all of its complication, in everything it would give them, in reward heart-wise, and everything it would take away in terms of stability, in terms of being able to build a life in what we're in. And I just feel like I've learned some really invaluable lessons. Actually, a few people from my first professional show came to see Teeth
Oh.
in the last few weeks. Roger Preston Smith, Bill Bateman, and Michelle Bruckner, they all did The Goodbye Girl with me, which was my first professional production at the Walnut Street Theater when I was 10. Donna McKechnie played my mom in that production. Tony Freeman played Elliot Garfield Grant.
Oh my
And
goodness.
I was so touched when Roger posted about the show the other day because all of these other cast members from the show also like posted about wanting to come see the show. And it was great to have a moment, even like on Facebook, to be like, I don't know if you know this, but watching you all at that age inspired me to do this and inspired me to keep doing it. And it's a huge part of what people see every night when I'm in Teeth.
That is so beautiful. I had read that you did, early theater and with Donna McKechnie in that way, but that is so special too. It's like the tables sort of are always revolving, like, the way that you all view and look at each other. I'm sure everyone's very proud of you.
It
That's
makes me blush.
special.
Like, I hope that I've
Yeah.
made them proud. Do you know what I mean? And there's some people that like aren't around anymore. People that have passed that were like a huge inspiration for me as I was like making my way, And there's been a lot of times where I don't want to think that that time as a child has anything to do with me performing as an adult, but honestly, it is. I have a picture of myself as a kid on my station. It's me in overalls when I was like 7 or 8 with a candy cane hanging from my ear. And I always try to put a kid version of myself somewhere on my station because, like, that's who I'm bringing out there. Like, she's out there too. And she's kind of in like oversized clothes. She's now my age out there running around. But, like, that's who I am out there too. Like, that's who I've learned from. That's who I hope keeps me honest and keeps me authentic on the days where I go in and there's a situation that's happening that I can't control, which happens in so many of our days as actors. And I hope it's like her that I'm remembering, the person who like has that candy cane on her ear, who's just like dancing around,
Aww. You're gonna make me cry.
I
That's
know, I'm
so well
kind of
said,
choked
and
up about that.
it's beautiful. Well, I've got to ask you because we ask all of our guests about the time in their lives when maybe they were watching art or participating in it, and it inspired them to get involved in some way. We borrow Ring of Keys from Fun Home. Were you like 7 or 8 when you had your Ring of Keys moment as it pertained to a life in the arts?
My Ring of Keys moment was definitely watching my own sister. My
Oh.
sister is such an incredible actor, such an incredible performer. And I would watch her in plays at our school growing up. And I remember my mom would take me to watch her as Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz. She must have been in maybe 4th or 5th grade. We have some years between us, and I was a baby, and my mom would then start to like, Jill would sing like Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And then I would like kind of hum back what Jillian just sung, like, ah. My mom was like, I wonder if you want to do this too, if you like this. It was definitely from watching my sister over time, just like watching her whole heart out there in everything she did. I was like, I need to do that too. I want to do that too.
That's so cool. I mentioned this earlier. I love a sister act, a sibling duo type
Yes.
situation. Did the two of you
Yes.
ever get to do anything on stage together, even despite the gap?
Yes, it's been really cool. Yeah, we've gotten to perform together a few times in development, which has been amazing, and in full productions. I wish it would happen more, you know. But I love right now that she's down the street. She's at the York right now doing Welcome to the Big Dipper. I can actually see her because I do 7 a week at Teeth right now. My team made this possible. The incredible Kiara Kennedy is on for me once, sometimes twice a week. She gets to do her dawn and everybody gets to see that, but also like our team and Kira are allowing me to rest in the 6-show weekend that is our weekend at New World. We do 1 Friday, 2 Saturday, 2 Sunday, 1 Monday. So it's a grueling schedule. And so I love that Jillian's down the street. When I opened, there was like this big bouquet of flowers on my station and a card. And I knew that like Jillian had just like passed by and put those there from like being in between her rehearsal. So it's cool. It's very cool that we're both here. Our grandparents actually honeymooned here in New York, and they both took individual pictures, like kind of near the George M. statue. And when I was doing Disaster, Jillian put the photos together and framed it for my station there. And so when I look at them on my station, I kind of can't believe it. Like, I don't ever think my grandparents would have thought that both of their granddaughters like would have been on Broadway, like kind of would have been down the street from where they had their honeymoon. So it's pretty cool.
Oh my goodness. I love how intentional it seems like you both sisters are, but you are just about the way that you sort of give regard and pay respects to sort of the legacy that the shoulders you stand on. That's really, really special.
I try to be, you know, I really do try to be because it's a tradition.
I probably have to ask her if what her favorite role is that you've played, but do you have a favorite role she's done?
Oh, my favorite role my sister has done. There's been so many. I love this role that she played in a show that was at NYMH years ago. It's a show called Georama. I absolutely loved her performance in that show. I also thought she did a production of The Glass Menagerie at the Walnut in one of their smaller black box spaces. That was also a incredible favorite. She just brings such a scope of emotion in song and her acting to a role, and I'm hooked. I always get choked up when I watch her.
Ah, that's amazing. I had a question for you. You mentioned that you have 7 shows. You do 7 of the shows. What dates, if
Yes.
anyone's dying to see you, what date would they maybe not expect to see, or does it sort of rotate?
So I'm usually out on Wednesdays
Okay.
because we have dark days at New World. And to be honest, and I feel like I'm showing my dirty laundry here, but we came up with this schedule because Tuesday and Wednesday allows me to have 2 consecutive days off in order to be able to do the 6 shows on the weekend with a bit more ease. Like,
Sure.
yeah.
Yeah.
And that's about as much ease because it's still really hard for all of us. I mean, every department doing this schedule, it's a lot. It's pretty
Sure.
rock and roll. It's really rock and roll.
Very,
I like
very rock and
it's very
roll.
rock and roll. And so, yeah, I'm usually there from Thursday through Monday, but there are some like weeks it switches. But also, like, I would love for you to see Kira too. She's doing an incredible job. I also knew Kira before this, and she saw the show in development. It's actually what we connected on when we met.
Oh.
She had seen me do a concert version with material from the show and was a big fan of the show. I also want to brag about Kira because Kira doesn't just stand by for me. Kira also covers 2 of the PKG humanity in the show.
Wow.
So there are times where Kira has been on for me, like once, twice in a week, and then she's on for a Promise Keeper girl in our show for the rest of the week.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
And so our covers are doing pretty angelic work at our theater. That's Julia Bain, Michael Doliner, James Sasser, Sean Doherty, Kiara Kennedy, and the incredible Claire Kwan, who makes her debut tonight, who will be with us for the next few weeks.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Now, I
Yes.
mean, Dawn is a beast of a role.
It is.
I was absolutely gagged when I saw the show and everything you got to do. I mean, you mentioned earlier that you're a comedic ingenue, and I would say this role is kind of perfect for you. You get to be funny, you get to be scary, you get to be romantic.
Yeah.
Everything you get to do,
Yes.
it's just what a gift. Oh my God.
I appreciate that. And I want to say that I do feel like that's because of how long these writers have known me. I met Anna K. Jacobs while she was a student at Grad Musical Theater Writing at Tisch because I started working at Newark when I was a student in undergrad at NYU. And so I met Anna when she was working on a show called Pop, written by Anna and my other really deep collaborator, Maggie Kate Coleman. It's called Pop, Who Shot Andy Warhol. And so I met them on that project. They did a production of it in Pittsburgh in 2012, around the same time in 2011, like the fall before I did Pop with Anna and Maggie. I got an email from Anna, who I'd known for a little while at that time, but hadn't worked with yet, where she was like, "Hi, I'm writing a musical with Michael R. Jackson, who was in my class at Grad Musical Theater Writing. It's based on the 2007 cult horror classic Teeth by Michael Lichtenstein. And we're doing a song from the show. It's the song Teeth from Teeth. And we're doing it at a concert at Cap 21. This was maybe when I had been graduated from Cap, a couple years before that in 2009. And so that was my first experience with Teeth. I went and I sang a duet with my friend Jared Weiss. It was a duet between the Don character and the Brad character. Teeth is now a group song, but it used to be a duet. And that was my first time singing from that show. And over time, I have not been the only Don, but Michael and Anna knew me well. So in all of the development processes for this show, they have definitely written around what I do and what I am capable of and who I am. This is a very rare experience. I know it doesn't happen all the time. And I want to say in my own career that there's been many times where I've done a new piece of theater and then I've like got someone's gotten in touch with me and been like, "Oh, I love hearing you on this demo. I'm actually going in for the next developmental process of the show that you did." And I'm like, "Oh, that's how I know that they didn't move on with me." So I want to say that I know how rare it is to see something through and to have had a hand in a development process from like 2011 to 2024 of a project. And even when we were at New World before, I was there for NAMMT doing Teeth. We were doing Teeth at the NAMMT like musical theater workshop behind stands. That's the last time Teeth as a whole was on that stage. And now we're on the same stage doing this fully realized production. So I had a really deep relationship with Anna first and then with Michael. And over time, they've really like used me as a muse for a lot of their projects. And they knew what I could do and they wrote for it. And even to put like a cherry on that, they talked about me in rooms that I wasn't in. That's in Teeth and otherwise. Every time a director has come on, I usually have not known them. They have talked about me with that director, and then that's why I'm in the room. And we have gotten to a place where now I feel like Sarah Benson, who is our director, who I have a great relationship with and who really runs a needs-based room, she has listened to every need that I've had with openness, whether that be about the schedule, the lift, that we need an intimacy coordinator, that we need to talk about our needs in the room. Anything I've brought to her, she has made happen. And that also doesn't happen all the time either.
I'd imagine, that there's a power in having a female director too with a piece like this.
There is, and I want to say that like I don't always find when I'm with a female identifying director that I do feel like we connect. My thought is always that we will, because I feel like because of our gender, that we understand in our conditioning that it's been hard to say no. We have to people please. If we smile, it's easier to deal with us. All these things that are sort of in the conditioning, right? But even though I don't like to qualify directors as female identifying or male identifying, and when we have enough, we won't have to say that, right? We can just say directors. But I do feel like part of this conversation is that sometimes because the jobs have notoriously and have always been done by male identifying persons, the ceiling is still being broken. And I feel like as a female identifying actor, I'm trying to get on the same page with a female identifying director in showing sensitivity, in showing that I need to ask for these things. I'm working to see their assertiveness as something that isn't a road to like halting a conversation. And they're trying to see my sensitivity as something that isn't wishy-washy. So there's been times where, like, even though I've worked with a lot of female identifying directors, not all those experiences have been positive. Not all those experiences have felt like we have common ground. They've actually felt like there's more distance, actually, because of what's being asked for both of our departments. But in this process, Sarah has really like renewed my faith that the bowl can have everything in it, that the space can be held, that anytime I've said no, it's an avenue for her to like go and find a different alternative. She never makes me feel like if I say that there's we can't go a different way. She's always made it seem like there's another avenue we can try. And that to me is like one of the greatest gifts as an actor, because that also makes me feel like I can put all my emotional life in the work and not have it be about like fighting for my value. She's done that. So it's been really great.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that.
Thank you.
We stand, Sarah. We love.
Yeah,
Yes, Sarah. Yes.
and Teeth is it's an open-ended run, right? So tickets are on sale over the next couple of months and everyone's got to go and support.
Yes, and we hope to be there for a while, you know. And I also just want to say how lucky I've been to like be with our whole creative team and our designers. I mean, you're really seeing incredible work by our set designer Adam, costume designer Enver, lighting is Jane Cox and Stacy. You're seeing Palmer do our sound, Jeremy Chernick do effects, including that blood. Rob Pickens and Katie Gell make these beautiful wigs and do hair and makeup. Krista Marie Jackson is also our intimacy coordinator who has choreographed a lot of this piece. Raja, who is our choreographer for the show. I just want to say how lucky I am to be with all of these folks in the room, our stage managers. Like, I just feel like when you see the show, you're seeing the work of many departments, many. And I want that to be known.
Oh, you're
Oh, I
amazing. I
love
love that
it.
you're really uplifting everybody and you're naming them. Name them.
Name up, name up.
Yeah, I want everybody to read them. And I'm
Yes.
saying, I have it right here. I want everybody to read this program and look at these names, because this is who I've gotten to like be in this room with and build this with over time. Some like that have come, and a lot of who have come from the first run to this run. You know what I mean? And people who've like, we've now been around each other a lot, like Raja, like he choreographed White Girl in Danger too. So like, this is somebody who knows my body. This is somebody who like, we are working heart to heart at this point. Same with Krista on the intimacy level, like same with Patrick Sulkin, Noah Teplin, Chris Kukula does the orchestrations. Like, this is a great group of people and village who have made this come alive.
Incredible.
And it's such a treat for audiences to see. You're making me like want to come tonight. I'm like, I'm dying to come see it again. We definitely have to come back.
It's a big night tonight. It's a huge night because we have a lot of people on
Ooh.
tonight. We've
Ooh.
got Kira on tonight. We've got Julia on tonight. We've got Sean on tonight for Brad.
For Brad.
We've
Yes.
got Claire making her debut. Shout out also to our stage managers, Thomas, our PSM, Rico, and Sophia, our ASMs, because everybody was there today doing a put in to make sure that this was all possible. So, yeah, it's amazing.
Oh my
That's
goodness.
really
Great. Oh, I love it. Okay. We've been chatting about a lot of things. We do have
yes.
something else we got to talk about.
Please tell
We
me.
have to do our dose of drama. This is
Yes.
that little pop culture recommendation or thought that's in our head or, little bit of the world that we just need to get off our chest and share with our listeners before we wrap our episode. And I've got something I'm feeling a little dramatic about. Now, over the weekend, a new Lindsay Lohan Netflix movie dropped on Netflix, which is where Netflix movies tend to drop, called Our Little Secret. And I have to say, I am totally here for this Lindsay Lohan, Lohanasance. I feel like Lohanasance
Yes.
sounds better, but we don't say Lindsay
Lohanasans.
Lohan. But anyway, she looks amazing. She has such star power, and I'm just begging better scripts to land on her desk. Or maybe she's
Yes.
choosing these projects because she knows the audience they're reaching. It's such a fun movie. Kristen Chenoweth, Ezra from Pretty Little Liars is in it, Ian Harding. By the way, Pretty Little Liars is my favorite show of all time.
Ah.
But Lindsay, she eats down, and I want more and more projects from her because she's everything. And I saw that she said on Watch What Happens Live that she has not auditioned for a project since The Parent Trap, which I feel like is such a flex.
That's
I'm just
wild.
obsessed with her and I love that. And I can't wait to see more and more from her. And I do recommend Our Little Secret. I think it was really fun.
Yeah, it's a good holiday
Amazing.
movie too. It's good. It's fun, cozy. Okay, mine is not holiday related, but I did read a book recently by friend of the pod, Andy Mientis. He released this book, Fraternity. I want to say it was like over a year ago. It's like, I want to say it's like young adult fiction, but it's also queer fiction. It's about a secret society at an all boys school in Massachusetts, and it's
Ooh.
dark and mysterious and also like historical fiction aspects intertwined in it too. It's a good read, and I do recommend that. And strangely enough, I bought it like used, and it came from a public library. Like it had like that
Oh,
laminated cover, and I was
I
like,
love
why
that.
not? Like it's so fun.
Cool. I'll definitely have to add it to my long list of books.
I know. Well, you read like only a few a year, Connor, so we're gonna
Oh,
work on that. But
I know.
Elise, do you have a dose of drama to take us home today?
I just saw Bridget Everett on, I think it was maybe it was a late night show performance singing Janis Joplin.
Oh.
And I just want to say how much I stan Bridget Everett. I want to say how much I love Bridget Everett's entire vibe. I love what she's about. I love her comedy. I love what she brings to the table as a person and an actor and the work that she's putting out there. I'm so excited to watch her show right now. I haven't started it on
Me neither.
HBO. And I really just want to say, when I saw her sing this on this late show, it really made me inspired for the rest of the week.
Wow.
And I'm just such a fan. Bridget Everett, I'm such a fan of you. I'm just like saying it out loud. And I just feel like it's inspiring to see it. It's inspiring to see the way that she takes up space and inspiring to see her get out on this late show and sing Piece of My Heart with their band and do it in this one piece romper. It was the most amazing performance I've ever seen. Everybody should watch it. I was so inspired by it.
I love to hear it. I have to say, when I was an intern at 54 Below before I was full time, Bridget Everett showed me immense kindness when I was having a tough day, you know, being like, you know, what was I, 22 years old or whatever, and just really
Yes.
needed. She is the real deal, like an absolute star. And I do need to watch her show. What's it called? Somebody
Somebody
Somewhere.
somewhere. Yeah, I heard it's
I
amazing.
really want to see it. I really, really want to see it. I just like think that she is, I think the world of her, and she has that reputation too. I mean, I feel like we're talking about that a lot right now, aren't we? About like
Yes.
sort of what the legacy we leave. And I'm feeling like we've had some really tough gut punch losses in our business. And the reason why they were so hard, right, is because these lights that we're losing, they're the way that they showed kindness and grace on and off stage, in their workplace, outside of their workplace, fostering connection. It's so important. And it's what I want to like keep my eye on. You know, it's like what that's really what I want my days to be about and infuse my days with. And I just think that to hear that story just reminds me of that, because like more for that. Like more for kindness, being kind, bringing it with you, packing it in your bag, making sure you give it to everybody around. Like that's what we have to give, our love, our kindness, true connection.
Beautifully put. I love it so much. What a great note to end this episode on.
And Elise, you evoke that. I swear, it's something that just emanates off of you.
Thank you, friends.
Aw.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh my goodness. The pleasure was ours. We'll let you know when we come and see teeth. But in the
Yes, please
meantime,
do.
where can everybody find you online?
You can find me at Elise Lewis on my Instagram, and at Teeth NYC is also our social media for teeth. Man, they are doing such great work, our social media team with SpotCo. Yeah, check us out. Check me out. I'm going to see a lot of pictures of me loving dogs that I meet, loving the dogs
Oh.
in my family, my friends' dogs. A lot of really interesting stuff.
So good. Oh, it's amazing. And yeah, the teeth social media is brilliant.
Yes.
They are and creative, and it's not just the same. You know, people jumping on the same meme. It's all really, really cool and inventive stuff.
Carly Quincy really holding it down for us in that respect. So,
All right. And while everyone is following Elise and also following Teeth, they've got to follow us. We're at the Drama Podcast. Connor is at Connor McDowell. I'm at Dylan McDowell. Everyone needs to go and see Teeth. Thank you again for this conversation today, Elise. It means a lot. And Connor, I will see you next time. Drama.
drama.